Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National All EN Payments webinar. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. If you'd like to ask a question during the presentation, you may also use the chat feature located in the lower left corner of your screen. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, October 28, 2014. I would now like to turn the conference over to Janet Cousins, Supervisor of Payment Help Desk. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Lynn. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Ticket to Work program monthly EN payments call. Thank you for joining us today. We do hope this call continues to help you understand the many intricacies of payment processing for the Ticket to Work program and allows you the opportunity to ask questions you may have regarding the various payment processes. Again, my name is Janet Cousin. I am supervisor for the Payments Help Desk and our Document Support Services teams, and I'll be your host today. Joining me is Kathy Dyson, Associate Consultant and Trainer for the Ticket Operations Department. We also have Natalie Sendeldorfer of the Social Security Administration team with us. Later, we'll have Keitra Hill, who's a senior account specialist with the Operations Support Manager team, joining us as well. Today's discussion is focused on the universal autopay process and is in response to a request from an EN for clarification of this process. That's really great because the purpose of the call is to bring you information that can help you manage your business in support of the Ticket to Work program, and we solicit suggestions for topics each month. So think about what you'd like to hear us present in next month's call. Now, we will be using a presentation for today's call that's being shared via the web link and is also available on our website at yourtickettowork.com via the Information Center tab under the training session. And as usual, this will be an interactive session. You will be invited to ask questions at the end of the presentation by pressing 1 and 4, as Lynn mentioned. We do request that when you ask your questions, do not provide any information regarding your personal cases due to confidentiality concerns. You can also ask questions in our chat room, and Charles Powell, our technical assistant with the Ticket to Work program, will be answering your questions in the chat room. If we're not able to address all of your questions in the chat or during the conference call, we will certainly make sure that someone gets back to you after the call. Okay, well, let's begin. And again, in this session, we'll be reviewing the universal autopay process. Second page. When you complete this session, you should be able to describe universal autopay, explain the outcome payment schedule, describe the benefits of universal autopay, and describe the sign-up process. Let's begin with a description of universal autopay. Universal autopay allows an eligible EN to receive payments more quickly. When you sign up, all your beneficiaries will be included. This means that you will not have to sign up each of your beneficiaries individually. Instead, you can sign up for this service only once. The first outcome payment is the trigger that starts the autopay process. Once this outcome payment request is approved, no further requests need to be made for that beneficiary. Instead, you automatically receive the payments after the request is approved. For the first 12 outcome payments, you receive payments on the first week of the fourth month following the claim month. For example, if the claim month is April, you receive the payment during the first week of August. For outcome payments 13 and up, payments are processed on the first week following the claim month. So if the claim month is July, you receive the payment during the first week of August. Now that we better understand the universal autopay and how payments work, let's take a moment to review the benefits of signing up. First, Universal AutoPay reduces the administrative burden associated with tracking ticket holders and submitting outcome payment requests. This means that more time can be spent providing services to beneficiaries. Second, only a one-time sign-up is needed. When you sign up, all your ticket holders will be included. Third, once an EN signs up, that EN will automatically receive an earnings alert for all its beneficiaries. As with the CUBRA response, this report will provide an EN with a lead as to whether a payment is possible. If ENs notice there are indications of earnings over trial work level earnings, they will then attempt to attain additional earnings evidence, if possible, and submit payment request forms for Phase 1 or Phase 2 milestones. This payment request process will be no different from the traditional method. ENs will follow this process for all milestone payments and the first outcome payment. Fourth, you will only need to submit a payment request for the ticket holder's first outcome payment. This request provides the trigger that initiates the auto-pay process. After this first request, no other outcome payment requests are necessary. This eliminates the administrative burden associated with tracking beneficiaries and submitting multiple payment requests. And finally, the time lag associated with outcome payments is reduced as you move from outcome 12 to outcome 13. And this means that you receive payments more quickly as your ticket holders move towards self-sufficiency. So how do you sign up for Universal AutoPay? The process is simple. The first step is to determine whether your organization meets the eligibility requirements. Let's take a look at those requirements now. First, your EN must have a current contract and must be in good standing with Social Security. Your EN must also have 5 or more tickets assigned. Additionally, your EN should not have any overpaid, have not have been overpaid. However, if your EN did receive an overpayment, it must be in a position to pay back any overpayments, meaning that your EN not only has the means to pay it back, but that it has a positive record of paying back overpayments. And finally, your EN must have a signed repayment agreement. Now, once the EN meets the eligibility requirements for Universal AutoPay, you complete and submit the Universal AutoPay request form. This form includes the requisite repayment agreement. The form is available on the Ticket to Work website, and you may upload the completed and signed form via the portal. Let's now take a closer look at how the outcome payments are made under the Universal AutoPay system once you are enrolled. The Universal AutoPay covers all outcome payments. It is triggered by the request for outcome 1, and then becomes fully automated with the second outcome payment. So under Universal AutoPay, the only outcome payment that requires a request is the first one. Remember, for the first 12 outcome payments, you receive payments during the first week of the fourth month following the claim month. For example, if the claim month is April, then your payment will be processed during the month of August. However, this time lag is decreased as you move into the 13th outcome payment. At this point, payments are processed during the first week following the claim month. So if the claim month is July, then the payment is processed during the month of August. In order for this to happen, a catch-up payment is made. So let's take a look at an example, and then we'll see exactly how this catch-up payment works. So suppose that a ticket holder had been earning greater than SGA with no cash benefits every month after leaving the rolls. During this time, the EN is receiving its monthly outcome payments. As shown on this chart, outcome 10 is met in January. Because of the delay, the EN receives its payment for this outcome in May. Similarly, the outcome 11 claim month is February, with the payment received in June. And the outcome 12 claim month is March, with payment received in July. Now in April, the EN becomes eligible to receive a payment for outcome 13. As with the other outcome payments, the delay means that the EN receives the payment in August. But this delay is phased out, so the EN receives payments for the month immediately after the claim month. So this is where the catch-up begins. So between April and August, the EN is eligible to receive payments for outcomes 14, 15, and 16. Instead of receiving these payments 4 months later, the EN receives the payment for all these outcomes as part of the outcome 13 payment in August. This means that in August, the EN is completely caught up with payments. So for outcome 17, the claim month is August, and the EN receives payments in September. I hope that clears that up. So you may have some questions while you're considering universal auto pay. If so, there are several resources you can turn to, as with any questions you may have, in order to get answers you need regarding this. Service providers are able to check the ticket assignability and history using the Secure Provider Portal. The portal also allows you to complete, view, and upload documents. EANs can also visit the yourtickettowork.com website to attain additional information, download the needed forms, and review other available training materials. So before we finish, let's review some of the key points that were covered. We began by describing universal auto pay. Universal auto pay allows eligible ENs to receive payments more quickly. Once the first outcome payment request is approved, no further requests will need to be made for that beneficiary. This first payment provides the trigger for the automatic payment of subsequent outcome payments. Next, we describe the benefits of universal auto pay. First, universal auto pay reduces the administrative burden associated with tracking ticket holders and submitting outcome payment requests. Second, only a one-time sign-up is needed to include all your ticket holders. And third, you will automatically receive an earnings alert for all your beneficiaries, which will provide you with a lead as to whether a milestone payment is possible. And fourth, you will need to submit payment requests for the ticket holder's milestones and first outcome payments. Fifth, the time lag associated with outcome payments is reduced as you move from outcome 12 to outcome 13. And finally, we describe the sign-up process. You should begin by determining whether your organization meets the eligibility requirements. And once it has been determined that your EN has met the eligibility requirements for universal auto pay, you must simply complete and submit the Universal AutoPay request form. We then explain the outcome payment schedule. For the first 12 outcome payments, you will receive payments during the fourth month following the claim month. For outcome payments 13 and up, you will receive payments during the month following the claim month. And in order for this to happen, a catch-up payment is made. Well, that wraps up the presentation. Let's open up the lines for any questions that you may have. Lynn?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register for a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from the line of Misty Sanborn. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. My question is, I have a beneficiary that is in outcome payments. We're on auto pay, and he has recently stopped working, but for whatever reason, is not informing Social Security. I'm not sure why. I keep advising him to, because he would be eligible for his cash benefit, but he's not doing it. Is there any way that I can do something to stop the auto payments, because we're going to end up owing SSA money?
Right. Hi, Missy. This is Kathy Dyson. I saw your question on the chat, and thank you for calling through. Missy, here's the thing with the automation payment process.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have signed the repayment agreement, you know, there's always a chance where beneficiaries may actually not report the wages timely.
Right.
And therefore, even if they report the wages timely, there may be even a lag time in the Social Security office in getting that information updated in the databases. So in the meanwhile, the process continues. So you may want to just always be prepared in the event one or two payments do actually get past that time lapse and a payment is made, so you can always repay that. However, you know, again, you can always, if you feel that the ticket holder or the beneficiary is not reporting the wages as timely as you have requested, again, you know, that's an opportunity. If you wish, you can outreach and report the wages. But nevertheless, you may just want to prepare yourself to repay those particular earnings, knowing that there will be a lap time in which that information will be updated in the databases, where in which the processors here will be able to see that information to stop payments.
Okay, another question. We have no problem with repaying if you know that becomes necessary. We've also had it where we've been overpaid in one place or another, and you just withheld some or all of a payment on another beneficiary, and that's not a problem. If this beneficiary never reports that he stopped working, will it eventually catch up? I mean, will you guys eventually catch up with that through the employer's reporting earnings, you know, that kind of thing?
I'm sorry, Missy. Can you just repeat your question?
Hang on. If for whatever reason the beneficiary never reports that he's not working, okay, will you catch up as in it, like it coming through the way the information for the QBER does from the employer to IRS to SSA?
Right. It's really the same process. That happens, you know, in the event that the information or the earnings are not reported to their local fill office. What will happen eventually, there will be an investigation of that particular beneficiary by way of their local fill office. And in the event that it's discovered that there are wages that were reported to IRS, we will be able to view that, and then, of course, the benefits will stop. There will be a retroactive process done on that. And then in the event there are repayments that are due, then you will be notified.
Okay, terrific. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a reminder, to ask a question on the phone, please press the 1 followed by the 4, and you may also submit a question by using the chat feature located on your screen. The next question over the phone comes from the line of Mark Marsh. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon. I had a question, or two questions. One, certification of services, which is required, I guess it was after outcome 11. If the certification of services is not received, does that interrupt the universal auto pay time scale at all?
Okay.
And secondly, I'll let you answer that question first. Go ahead.
Okay, well, that's fine. And the answer to that is no, it does not. We will continue with processing the payments in the event we do not have an actual certification of services on file.
Okay, great. And secondly, are the rules different on the universal auto pay for individuals on self-employment? I have a client who's about to start his own business, and he has a client who's going to be paying him. It'll be a 1099, but basically withholdings will have to be, you know, amounts would have to be deposited for taxes and so on under the self-employment. And I haven't seen anything on self-employment as far as reporting the earnings for self-employment, as well as how the universal auto pay would apply to those individuals.
Well, what happens, individuals that are self-employed, they are added to your list, and they are processed along with the others. If there are wages in which taxes were made and they are available, then payments will automatically be generated. In the event that only self-employed earnings are actually being had, what will happen, we will simply have to wait as usual until those wages are reported and taxes are paid, and then we will utilize those earnings.
But the wages wouldn't be reported. The wages would be reported monthly with the check from the clients making payments to the beneficiary for his business, but actually the 1099 wouldn't be generated till the end of the calendar year. So we'd have to wait until the end of the year and the taxes are filed, or the information that the 1099 is received, and then use that as the basis for verification of earnings?
Well, in the event there's a history, if there's prior a year's worth of earnings that we find prior to the actual current process month and year, then we will proceed with making payments.
Okay. I think I'll get more into that as this develops. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you, Mark. And just to follow, if you do have any follow-up questions, please do call the Payments Help Desk, and we can certainly provide some additional clarification for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. It appears that there is a question from the line of Raymond Beloine. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just a quick question. I understand that what triggers the universal auto pay is you submit the first outcome 1. And I was just wondering, at that time, do you also submit pay stubs, or is this with this process you're not submitting any pay stubs at all? I just want clarification on that.
Okay, very good question. You want to continue to submit your payment requests as usual. So if you are submitting payment requests for your milestones along with the evidence of earnings, you want to proceed that very same line of process for the first outcome. Now, in the event we received a payment request with evidence of earnings and it go past the actual milestone and you're now in the outcome period, we will go ahead and process the outcomes. And then once you see that noted on your actual EN status report, then at that point you know that particular ticket holder will be added to your automation payment.
Okay, so it's just the initial, the outcome 1 is the only time you're submitting your pay stubs, is that correct?
It's actually, you want to submit it along with all of your payment requests, starting with your phase 1 milestones.
Okay.
And if that particular ticket holder remains in a current pay status, then you want to continue submitting that for the phase two. And once they enter into the actual outcome status or their benefits, their federal cash benefits stops, then once we make that very first initial outcome payment, we have your payment request along with the evidence of earnings, after which you will not have to submit any additional information.
Oh, I got you. So the real difference, so phase one and phase two is the same as far as submitting the payment request. It's just when you get to the outcome part of it, then you don't have to submit the payment request.
Right. Once you actually note on your EN status report that there is an outcome payment that was made for that particular Social Security number, then by all means you will not have to submit any more payment requests.
Okay, and one other quick one. The gentleman was talking about self-employment, and in the ticket to work, the training materials that I printed out last time, it indicates self-employment income claims are not eligible for universal auto pay. Is that correct, or has that been changed?
Well, that I'm sure has been changed. We do process, and it's been some time, a few years, we've actually been processing self-employed earnings through the UAP.
Okay, so that's been changed. Okay. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Raymond, are you still on the line?
Okay. Yes, the line is still open.
I just wanted to verify if you can identify where those materials were, if it's something that just you had in your possession for a period of time, or if it's still posted somewhere. Please, you can send a message to the EN Payments Help Desk, and we can certainly update that material if it's outdated. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Howard Westblade. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My question is the universal auto pay, and I was on that at one time, and it was pretty good, and somehow it fell off, and I heard that term about the universal auto pay could be falling off, and about probably 3 months ago I tried to re-enroll through the portal. I have not heard anything either good or bad, and rather than try it again and wait another 3 months, I wondered what's going on.
Hi, Mr. Westbay. How are you? It's great to hear your voice. I'm not aware of you not receiving your automation payment, so what I will do is look into that.
Kathy?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And there may be points where one or two particular Social Security numbers may fall off, and that was a system issue, but I haven't heard of any recent glitches, so this may be something we really need to look into.
It seems like it's been a couple of years even since I've had an auto pay, and it's kind of an adventure.
Okay, we'll take a look at your actual list.
Okay, would you find out if you have a pending application for it, or what happened to it? Because that was pretty good.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm glad that it was very helpful to you. I will need to look at your list. I don't actually take a look at the entire list each month. I do get a copy of it, so I'll be happy to go back and take a look and see what's going on with it and investigate.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. And
okay.
We have with us today also Mr. Westbay. Keetra. Keetra here.
Hello, sir. How are you? I just wanted to say that in reference to you asking about the form, if we had one pending for you, we do not remove you from Universal Auto Pay. So if we did receive a form, your account manager or specialist, I'm sorry, would have reached out to you to let you know that you're already on Universal Auto Pay. So that, you know, current form that you submitted would just be added to your file. So you're not automatically removed for any reason. You would just receive a notification that we have received your new request, but you're already on Universal Auto Pay.
Yeah, and my account manager hasn't been very much help. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, as Ms. Cassie says, she will look into the issue about,
yeah,
you know.
And I appreciate it. I haven't given up.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Mr. Wesley, that's a very good, I'm glad that you brought that up. There was a time, and I believe it might have been a couple years ago, where we were practicing not initiating denials when the processors would go in and take a look at the databases. And in the event that particular beneficiary didn't qualify for payment, that nothing was performed. Now, that has since been reversed, but that's a recent reversal as of this year, I believe. So only recently, I believe it is, that we are now initiating denials, which is an indication that we have actually looked at each of your ticket holders.
Okay.
So it's possible, but I just don't know how all of your ticket holders will not qualify for payment. But we'll take a look again and just to see what's going on with that.
Yeah, and I would be curious because I enrolled through the portal, and I was going to do it again, and I said, well, maybe it's pending up there somewhere. So there may be. I don't know what happened, so I'll be glad that you look into it and let me know.
Okay, so this was done through the portal. Okay.
Well, this the last one was about 3 months ago, but before that, a couple of years ago, it just stopped.
Okay. We'll look for both of those enrollments.
And I did have some, but I worked through those, and they had the authority to take them out of the money that I was getting. And if you check, you'll see I haven't done too bad. But it's still.
Well, then that could be an. I will look into it again. As part of the presentation, the employment network would have to be in standards or good standards, meaning if there's overpayment, then that would automatically be subtracted from the amount due. So,
sure.
You know, there's other variables
involved.
I worked
through Janice Edwards on that, so if you mention it to her, I'm sure she knows my name.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
We'll look into that as well.
Okay.
Thank you. It's good hearing
very
from
good.
You.
Thank you. And it appears that there are no questions on the phone lines at this time.
Great. Thank you very much. Let's check in with the chat line. Charles, are there any questions pending there that we need to address?
Well, many of the questions today seem to be around how to get the earnings alert and what action they should take when they receive the earnings alert that when they get that email, it means that the quarterly beneficiary earnings report has updated information on the secure provider portal, and that means the EN can go on the portal to pull the newest report.
Perfect. Exactly right. The alert is a trigger that there's updated information in the QBER on the portal. And ENs are invited and to go onto the portal, take a look at that QBER, and see if there is a qualifying payment that they can submit. Very good. Lynn, are there any other holding calls for us today?
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question over the phone, please press the 1 followed by the 4. We do have a question from the line of Diana Bernardini. Please go ahead.
Hi. I have a similar situation to Misty where I've got a client who is not working, and so they'll come off of auto pay. And my question is, if they go back to work at a later time, how do they go back on auto pay?
Hi, Ms. Bernardini. Actually, what will happen, the Social Security number will remain on the list. What may happen over a period of time, we may pull it, and when they return, the actual earnings will prompt the system to automatically add them back. Now, if you are aware of a situation in which you should have received a payment and one has not showed up on your status report, at that point you want to just outreach to the help desk, and we will do an investigation to make sure nothing is slipped between the cracks.
Sure. Okay. Great. Thanks.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Great. Good question, Diane.
And it appears that there are no further questions on the phone lines at this time.
Okay, very good. Well, and there doesn't seem to be any additional questions through the chat that have not been answered yet. So, again, thank you for joining us today for the All In Payments call. We do hope that the information shared was helpful for you, and we hope you have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude the call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines. Thank you and have a good day.